This is Northern Michigan Connections, a service of McDonnell Garber Broadcasting. Our goal is to connect you with organizations who are providing unique services to the residents of Northern Michigan. I'm Tim Nixon. Mel's pushing the buttons because we won't let anybody else do it. And it's Northern Michigan Connections. Now, today, our guest is Jane Millar. She's the Executive Director of Northern Community Mediation. And Jane, I think most of us seem to have issues that need to be mediated somehow. What is your organization about?
Northern Community Mediation is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. We're one of 18 centers in the state of Michigan that are umbrellaed under the State Court Administrative Office. Our center, Northern Community Mediation, services Charlevoix and Emmett counties. And our role is to help people meaningfully resolve conflicts. And so what we do is we get our referrals in many ways. About 85% actually are court referrals, but some are self-referrals. Some come from prosecuting attorneys, governmental agencies, educational institutions. But we bring the disputing parties together, and we help facilitate a process so that they come up with their own solution to their conflict. And what's interesting about the process is we don't give judgment. We don't give legal advice. We do not even tell them how they should resolve their conflict. The beauty of it is when they come up with it, they buy into it because it's their agreement. I think there was an interesting study done several years ago, about 8 years ago now, in Minnesota. And they asked people who had been to court and the judge or jury had passed down what the verdict is. And they said, well, why did you follow through? And, well, because I was told I had to do so. They then went to people who went through mediation and came up with their own agreement. And they said, well, why did you keep the agreement? Because I gave my word. And so I think that's the telltale of the whole thing. There's true buy-in to the mediation process. On top of everything, it's a much more genteel way than going through the court. Not to say that there's not a place and time for things in court. There needs to be. But many, many disputes can be resolved through the mediation process.
So as an example, in the last month, where would the majority of your cases come from? Would it be domestic disputes? Would it be business, legal? Where would they come from?
All over the place.
Everywhere.
The only thing that cannot be mediated is innocence or guilt in a criminal case. Everything else is on the table. So there can be divorce, domestic matters, parenting time, guardianship, both of children and of adults, small claims cases, breach of contract, landlord-tenant, consumer merchants. The list just keeps going on and on. It can be even disputes between an entity such as a city and a community member. Anything can be mediated other than innocence or guilt. We do a lot of divorce, I will say that. I also should mention, too, that we do a lot with the schools. We have basically three things that we provide services for the schools, and those services are free to the schools. We special education, so if a parent feels that maybe there should be an IEP, which is an individual educational profile, they can request that it be mediated to help develop the IEP. And again, we are neutral. We don't guide it or anything, but we provide a platform where there's a safe, confidential setting.
You ask the right kind of questions. How do you lead them?
That's a great question, Tim, because, yes, one of the skills of a mediator is knowing how to ask questions. So in a sense, you're guiding people, but you are not giving them an answer. And so, like, let's say special education. You have to have special training on top of basic mediation training to do special education, because you have to have a certain knowledge base. And that knowledge base gives you the equipment and the knowledge to be able to know what questions to ask. which I guess I could jump into kind of what the training to be a mediator in the state of Michigan. You need to go through what's called the 40-hour training. It's the equivalent of a college semester class. It doesn't matter whether you're an attorney or not an attorney. The same training applies for both, because it's not really that you have to be extremely knowledgeable of the law. You have to understand the process. You have to understand how to listen to what the people are saying, then paraphrase what they're saying so that you help the other parties at the table know what the people are saying. Then on top of that, if you want to be like a special education, that's another 40-hour training. Or for divorce, it's a 48-hour training in addition. But kind of getting back to the schools, and you can tell I have a passion for this, Tim, because I can just keep going, so interrupt me anytime.
You're fine.
We also, in addition to doing the special education, which is absolutely free to the schools and to the parents, we also do school attendance mediation. And in these cases, we work with the schools that they contact us with, little Timmy just isn't getting to school like he should, and he's been absent way too many times. And so we will help facilitate bringing the parents in, sitting down and talking with the school personnel. And in the case of the student, if it's middle school or high school, we have the student in there as well. And how are we, Timmy, you know, help us here. What can we do to help you be in school? Parents ask that, the school, you know. And when an agreement is reached, little Timmy signs that agreement too. So he truly is buying into the process. In addition, excuse me, we have what's called a restorative practices program that we piloted this past year, and it was in Boyne City High School and Pellston High School. And there was a part-time RP, restorative practices coordinator, in the school. Unlike the disciplinarian, this restorative practices person was proactive. And so if there was a conflict with a student, just what, you know, was really not behaving in class, for example, Jim Raber, who's the RP coordinator in Boyne City, the student would come down and Jim would talk with them. Well, you know, you had the hoodie on. You got sent down here because you had the hoodie on. Are you aware that that's against the school rules? Well, yeah. Well, why did you do it? You know, and talking the student through to understand what they had done wrong, why they had done it, and to come up with, you know, I guess it really isn't that smart. Why do I antagonize the teacher and put the hoodie on? But it's not a disciplinary thing. It's restorative. And if you don't mind, I'll share a wonderful, this program, a lot of times it's two students having an argument, and the RP coordinator will facilitate the two students coming together, sitting down and talking about what their problem is. When we know it's really working, one day two girls walked in to Jim Raber's office and they said, "Mr. Raber, will you mediate a situation for us?" And Jim said, "Sure. What's this about?" "Well, we're having this argument over this boy because we both like him." So, but how wonderful, because the kids are learning to resolve conflict on their own by sitting down and talking. And so there's kind of a perk in this whole RP coordinator position. And personally, I'd love to see this in every one of the schools.
Yeah, but how did that turn out? You can't just take us there and say two girls had the same boyfriend. How do we get this resolved? Did one of them, was one happy and the other not, but they were still content?
Actually, they realized that a lot of it was just because they wanted to tick the other one off. It really had nothing
to do. So it didn't matter.
It really didn't matter, right.
So they were buddies. They walked out, and the guys hit the road, Jack.
That's about what happened, Tim.
Okay.
You know, they just realized that this was just, it was a petty sort of thing.
And it just wasn't worth it.
It wasn't worth it. And they had been good friends. And so they left and were good friends. And to my knowledge, they're still good friends.
See, I wouldn't have slept tonight had you not resolved that. So
yeah.
I needed to know the outcome of that. Well, so mediation puts you right in the middle of life.
Yes.
Lots of stuff. And how about families that, like when somebody passes away?
You know, that is a great, great question. Because we all have experienced or know of someone who has experienced horror stories after someone in the family dies and there's an argument over the will and the trust and he got more than I did. He shouldn't get this and, you know, all of that. We can mediate those cases. And so often if we can get the people to the table and they'll sit down and talk, they'll realize it's not worth sacrificing the relationship that the family has. In fact, we had a case one time where there were, as I recall, seven siblings. And in this case, the mother, well, the father had died. The mother was still alive. She wanted to remain in her home, which was a farm, the homestead, so to speak. And it was a large home in that. The oldest child and also the oldest daughter didn't feel that her mother should be in, that she should be in a home in that. And she had convinced the second in line sibling of the same. But the other five felt mom should stay in the home. Mom was at the mediation too. And the oldest child was trying to really play the role of mom's not really competent. Well, they all sat down and talked, and ultimately they came up with that mom would stay in the home. They had a plan on who would check on her regularly to make sure that, and I've got to add, she was competent. She did need to be checked on, but it wasn't that she was incompetent. And the oldest daughter finally came around and kind of realized that it was her motivation, what she wanted, not what she wasn't looking at mom's best interest.
So were they still friends after?
They were friends. That happened several years ago. So I can't honestly, but you have to kind of assume that they left there and there were hugs and kisses when they left. And so you have to assume they had resolved it on their own. Unlike if that had gone to court, no one would have been happy.
Right.
Because it would have been imposed on them. And probably the oldest daughter would have been very bitter about the whole thing. So, you know, those are some of the good stories.
Her name is Jane Millar. She's Executive Director of Northern Community Mediation. And we'll be back with Northern Michigan Connections.
You're listening to Northern Michigan Connections, a service of McDonnell Garber Broadcasting.
Welcome back to Northern Michigan Connections. I'm Tim Nixon. That's Mel over there. Wave. She did. And Jane Millar is here. She's Executive Director of Northern Community Mediation. Now, Northern Community Mediation, you've said, mediates basically family issues, business issues, all kinds of issues. And I heard you say, like when in the school situation, it's no charge to the school.
Right.
It's no charge to the parents. I'm thinking, well, who pays for it? For Northern Michigan.
You do, Tim.
Mediation.
I'm going to say no.
Oh, okay.
We get our funding. About one-fourth of it is from the state. One-half of it is local, from the counties and from the courts. And then we have to raise the other quarter of our funding. And we do this through donations, fees, which are minimal. I'll kind of mention that in a second. Grants. And we also have two major fundraisers. Both are theater parties. One is in Petoskey in March. The other one is just happens to be coming up on Monday, October 8th in Charlevoix.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the best deal you'll ever have. For $25 a ticket, you from 5:30 to 7, people will go to the Weather Vane restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Down in the channel room, we'll have food enough for dinner. There's the hors d'oeuvres, but it's enough for dinner. We'll have drinks. People can buy
open bar.
It's open bar. And then at 7 o'clock, they go over to the theater in Charlevoix and see one of the three movies there of their choice. Now, that is a good deal because $50, you've got dinner and a movie. That is an inexpensive date, Tim.
So 50 bucks for a couple and you get all that.
You get all of that.
And the beautiful view of the weather vane.
You got it.
Right on the water.
You got it. Yeah. So that's how we get our funding. I do want to mention fees. We have minimal fees. Most of the cases we don't charge for. But in the cases of, let's say, divorce or domestic issues, there is a $100 flat fee per person. It's not an hour. That's it. No matter how long it takes. We waive fees if people can't afford it. And also, if someone is an American veteran, there is no charge because it's our way of saying thank you to the people who have served our country. So that's kind of how our fees come up.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. It's the best deal in town.
How many people work with you?
There are three of us who are actually employed. I'm the executive director, and there are two case managers. Then we have about 55 mediators, and they are all volunteers. By the way the Citizen Dispute Resolution Program is set up, they have to be volunteers. And every year I do, based upon $150 an hour, which is the minimum that private mediators tend to charge, that values out at approaching $200,000 a year. Their volunteer time. So it is a remarkable amount that they give back, the mediators, to the community.
So you have 55 mediators. They all have to go and have mediator training and the classroom, the 40-hour classes that you mentioned. So they're not just hey, I want to volunteer and stick them in there.
Right, yeah. They've got to know what they're doing, so to
halfway
speak.
Halfway through, they change their mind or something.
Right. And also, mediators every 2 years have to take at least 8 hours of continuing education units to stay abreast of what's going on.
Wow. So you have plenty of people volunteering to help and be part of the program?
But we can always use more.
Sure.
And we're going to be doing a training sometime this spring, in either April or May, this coming spring. So we'll let people know when that comes up.
Okay.
But you know what I'd really love to do, Tim, is to share some stories, because mm-hmm. the stories really tell the story. We had a case of a young man that was working on his Eagle Scout badge. And it was in one of the communities up here. And his project was to take the nature trail that had been just left to go to pot. And he fixed it all up. He made birdhouses, and it was beautiful. Everyone in the community loved it. About a month after he had finished his project, two middle school kids came in and trashed it. Well, it came to Northern Community Mediation as part of our Victim Offender Reconciliation Program. And at the table were the two offenders, the fathers of the two offenders, the father of the Eagle Scout, the police chief of the community, the superintendent of the school system, and we didn't know if the Eagle Scout would come to the mediation or not, because you cannot re-victimize the victim. But he finally decided to come. And at mediation, the two young boys, you know, why did you do this? You know, and, well, I don't know. You know, the typical, you know, middle school. I don't know. As the process progressed, it finally came time, and the Eagle Scout, by law, is entitled to be made whole. And the part of this Victim Offender Reconciliation Program is that the victim can say, this is what I would like. And he said, this is what I would like. I want the two of you, he turned to the offenders, and your dads to work with my dad and me to repair all the damage that you did. I want the two of you to come up with the money. I don't want your parents just paying it. I want you to earn the money to pay for the supplies we have to buy. And then I want you to go to at least 5 Boy Scout meetings. And then you can do what you want after that. Those the six, the three fathers, the Eagle Scout, the two boys, they fixed everything up. The two offenders did go to five Boy Scout meetings. They permanently became Boy Scouts, and they became really outstanding citizens. And that wouldn't happen in a court of law that way.
No.
Another story is relating to parenting time. During the break a little bit, we were talking about people come in, and they're often very mad, and they can't stand each other. And, I mean, you can just see the bullets, you know, going between the two of the two parties. It was a parenting time, which mothers, who's going to get the child when, et cetera. And this ex-husband and ex-wife came in, and it was very hostile. After about 2 hours, 2.5 hours of mediation, they came up with a parenting time schedule, and then they left the facility. And we rent the second floor of the old St. Francis Monastery, and we stood looking down at the two of them, standing by a car, very relaxed, having a conversation. They learned that they could have their differences, but they could still be civil and communicate with one another. So the stories keep going on and on like that.
That's pretty special stuff. Can I go back to the last one real quick?
Sure.
What did the boys say was their motivation to vandalize the trail?
I don't know. It was something to do.
Really?
I mean, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really?
I can never figure out vandals for the sake of vandalizing something that somebody obviously has taken great pride and time and money and things to invest in, and then somebody just comes in and destroys it. I don't know where that comes from.
I'm with you, Tim. I'm with you completely. But what the boys did learn from that is that probably one of them just, you know, hit the birdhouse. I mean, well, that seemed like fun, so I'll hit another. I mean, it builds. And I think those two offenders learned that is stupid.
Yeah.
Quite candidly.
So they got some new values by going with the Boy Scouts, and the
right.
dads were probably pleased
right.
with the outcome, I hope.
Yep.
I would assume. So, the people who were standing down there having a cordial conversation about their child or whatever after having been mediated, you know, that's got to be great rewards for you.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, that. And I don't mean to imply that everyone walks out and God's in his heaven and all's right with the world. I don't mean to imply that. But over and over again, we do see that the mediation is part of a healing process as well. I don't know if we have time for a very emotional story.
Yes.
Okay. This was quite a few years ago. Two teenage boys. 17 years old, juniors in high school. One's driving going north on the highway. The other one's driving going south on the highway. The boy driving going north on the highway crossed the yellow line, hit the boy going south on the highway, and the boy going south on the highway was killed. Mm. It went to court. The young man was found guilty, and he had been drinking when he was driving. A very wise prosecuting attorney approached the bench and said, Your Honor, if the parents of the boy who was killed and if the parents of the boy who caused the accident are willing, I would like to see this case go to mediation to determine what's going to happen with this young man. The judge agreed. Both sets of parents agreed. At mediation, the young man had to sit there and listen to the parents of the boy who was killed, listen to them say, this was our only child. We will never see him graduate from high school. We will never see him graduate from college. We will never see him get married. We will never see him have children, and we will never have grandchildren. The young man then had to listen to his own parents talk about their anguish, what it had done to the family, the impact his action has had upon his brother and his sister. And then it came time for what's going to be the restitution? What's going to happen to this young man? The parents of the boy who was killed said, "We've been checking with the school, and you're a very smart young man, but you're getting all D's. And this is what we want. We cannot bring back our son. Our son is dead. But if any good can come of this, we want your life to get on track. So this is what we want. We want you to get to be your grades up to all A's and B's. We want you to graduate from high school. We want you to go to college. We want you to be a responsible citizen. We want you to stop drinking. We want you to stop doing drugs. We want you in a rehabilitation program. And we want you to check in with us once a quarter." That was the agreement, and the party signed it. The young man ended up that he would get together with the parents of the boy who was killed at least once a month. He graduated from high school, graduated from college, and I have trouble telling this story without getting tears in my eyes. He ultimately got married, and the parents of the boy who was killed sat in the front row with his own parents. And he and his wife had children, and the parents of the boy who was killed are considered grandma and grandpa. That could not have happened in a court of law. And here was a young man whose life was turned around. Very serious what he did, a very serious crime. But it had a good result because people sat down and talked. Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
I totally get it.
I often use that story when I and when I do a closing at like a service club or something, and I look around the room and everyone's kind of teary-eyed.
Well, but that's like storybook ending, you know.
It is.
That's like perfect, and that's a good way to let us know that mediation, talking, listening, communicating, has merit.
Yeah.
And you're right in the middle of it.
And so. It's very rewarding work, and it's very rewarding for the mediators. Do we always have those types of outcomes? No. About 85% of the time, there is an agreement. There's a 15% where there is no agreement. And I should point out, when you go to mediation, it's confidential. So if you go to mediation, you don't come up with an agreement. You have not lost your ability to go to court.
Okay.
And what you've said in mediation is confidential, so it can't be used against you.
Okay. Her name is Jane Millar. She's Executive Director of Northern Community Mediation. And your website is?
www.northernmediation.org.
Okay.
Okay.
And they can get a hold of you, and they can see what you do. And thank you for joining us today on Northern Michigan Connection.
You've been listening to Northern Michigan Connections, a service of McDonnell Garber Broadcasting, connecting you with organizations who are providing unique services to the residents of Northern Michigan. If you have questions or comments about today's show, contact Carrie.Davis at 106khq.com.